Blog Talk Radio.
Readers Entertainment Radio, where variety is the spice of life.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Readers Entertainment Radio Show. I am your host, Lisa Watson, and I hope everybody is doing well this evening. I just wanted to let you know that here it's nice and rainy. Had a little bit of a thunderstorm earlier, but I am definitely hoping that my poor little plants and flowers outside get plenty of water because it's been a while since they've had a really good shower. So anyway, my guest tonight is on the line right now, and I'll bring her on in just a second. So hang on, bear with me. Well, welcome to Readers Entertainment Radio. This is Lisa.
Hi, Lisa. This is Victoria. How are you?
Hey, I am fine, thank you. I was just going to do your intro, so I'm going to just jump right in and let listeners know that my guest tonight is an author, and she always knew she wanted to be an author, even though it took an unlikely path for her to get there. She is a native of New York, Queens to be exact, and she attended Hampton University, where she majored in communication disorders. And after graduating, she returned to New York to attend New York University, where she received her MBA. And she spent 10 years after that in corporate America before she tested her entrepreneurial spirit and opened a financial service agency, where she managed the number one division for 9 consecutive years. However, my guest never lost her dream to write, and when the bug hit her again in 1997, she answered the call. Originally, she was self-published her first novel, Temptation, in 2000, and then Temptation made numerous bestseller lists, and in 2001, it was nominated for an NAACP Image Award in Outstanding Literature. Since then, she has written over 20 adult novels, including Joy, Grown Folks Business, The X-Files, The Deal, The Dance and the Devil, Forever an X, and a popular Jasmine Cox Larson Bush series. In 2012, my guest joined another national best-selling and award-winning author, Rashonda Tate Billingsley, to write 4 collaborations, which pits my guest's Jasmine character against Rachel Adams, a first lady created by Rashonda, receiving numerous awards, including the Golden Pen Award for Best Inspirational Fiction and the Phyllis Wheatley Trailblazer Award for being a pioneer in African-American fiction. Since 2007, she's won 7 African-American Literary Awards for Best Novel, Best Fiction, and Author of the Year for Female. Her 2014 NAACP Image Award nomination for Never Say Never has her third image award, was her third Image Award nomination. Several of her novels have been opted to become movies, including The Deal, The Dance and the Devil, and The X-Files. Wow. With over 1 million books in print, she is one of the country's top African-American contemporary authors. And it is my pleasure to welcome tonight Victoria Christopher Murray to the show. Welcome, Victoria.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for being here. It's such a pleasure to have you here tonight. And we've seen each other at various conventions, and it's wonderful to actually get a chance to speak with you one-on-one this evening. And so we've got a lot to talk about. So let's start with a little bit more about you. And tell listeners when you decided to forego corporate America to follow your dream and become a published author.
Well, as you said, you know, I've always wanted to do this, always wanted to be an author, and just didn't really know how to go about doing it. Mm-hmm. And so I think the fear of not knowing what to do sometimes stops you. You
right.
know, you become a little jaded. You don't do what you know you've been called to do.
Right.
And so I, and you know, I knew it. I knew what I was supposed to do. And, but I just was a little afraid to do it. And one day my husband said to me, you know, the one thing that you wanted to do your entire life, you are not going to do, because you're afraid. And one day you're going to be 80 years old and you're going to be very sorry. And so that scared me more than the fear of writing. And so that's
wow.
what I did.
You know, and
that's
I don't
how
know,
it came about.
I don't know if you find this as well, and you probably do, but do you notice sometimes that, you know, something that you're supposed to be doing and you kind of, like you said, you kind of, I'm not going to do that, or you kind of put it off and put it off, and it keeps coming back around. You keep
yes.
getting the opportunities, keep presenting themselves and presenting themselves, and finally you're like, okay, hey, obviously this is something I'm supposed to be doing.
Just because it wasn't even that it just kept coming around. It was that I knew I had this gift to write. Even mm-hmm. I excelled in school because I was such a great writer. It was
right.
a gift, so it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And even when I had my own business, I would be doing the things that I loved to do the most was when I was writing the proposals or mm-hmm. any of the other things. And so it was
mm-hmm.
all because of that, it kept being part of general parts of my life.
Right.
And that's why I knew I was supposed to do it. I just had to figure it out.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Just figure out how to jump in there and just kind of get started. And they say, like, be careful what you ask for.
Exactly.
You know, because you may get it. And it's a lot more than a notion, being an author. I mean, sometimes I think writing the novel is the easy part, you know, when you have to
yes.
factor in all the publicity and the promotion and the advertising and the marketing and the, you know, editing and all of that. It seems sometimes that just sitting down, you and your laptop or your, you know, paper and pen and just, you know, getting that story onto paper is, you know, the part that, you know, for me as an author, it's like, oh gosh, that's the part I love the best.
yeah. And that's the part I love the best too. I remember one time helping a writer put together her writing. And then I said to her, you know, what are you going to do about the marketing side of it? And her face went blank. Her face went blank.
What marketing side?
What marketing side? And really, it was a horrible, I remember looking at her and feeling so sorry because she said, you know, and this was back in the day when it cost a lot of money to self-publish.
Right.
And so she said, I have $10,000. I can make this publishing dream come true. And she was so excited because she had saved up all the money for that. And at that time, that's how much it would cost because, you know, you had
mm-hmm.
to print a certain number of books and between the editing and the graphic design for
right.
Your cover, that's what it would cost. And then I said, okay, how much money have you set aside for the marketing of it? And I'm telling you, Lisa, her face went blank. I felt so sorry to this day. And that happened years and years ago. To this day, I still remember her face. I still remember her face. It was just because people don't realize that writing is just such a small part of it. It's a very, very important part because I believe in the craft of writing and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just half the battle because I read an article, it was a while ago, I think it was like in 2004, 2005, that
mm-hmm.
said that 1 million books had been printed the year before. And that out of the million new books had come out. And
mm-hmm.
so out of those million, only 25,000 would sell more than 5,000 copies.
Wow.
Only 25,000.
You know, and that's staggering.
Only 100 books. Only 100 books would sell over 100,000.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And so it's how do you break through all that noise?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's nothing but noise. So how do you break through the noise? And so I tell people you can get the book to the shelf, but you got to get the book off the shelf.
Right. Yeah, that's a whole nother animal right there, being able to put yourself out there and get, readers to actually know who you are and your name. And, that's definitely a challenging thing to do, like you said, with so many different books out there and so many authors and so many genres, to be able to be a new author and to, get yourself out there. And, so people, know your book, know who you are. And yeah, that's even harder, I think, than the rest of the stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is.
Now, your latest novel, Stand Your Ground, was released this past June. And, can you tell listeners more about that novel and when you decided it was time to take on this emotionally charged topic of the Stand Your Ground rule that's been, such a hot spot between lawmakers and activists and citizens today?
Yeah, and this is the book that I think I'm most proud of in my career, because I've always wanted to write entertaining books. I'm not going to ever forget I am an entertainer.
Right.
But one of the things that I wanted to do was that I know this is a gift that I've been given, so I need to do something very important with it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the first time that I feel like not only did I entertain, but I could do something important. And I started writing this book because people call me like the CNN of Facebook. I don't know how that happened. But people tell me, I come home from work, girl, and I don't even check on the news. I just go to your page. And I'm like, no, you really shouldn't do that. I don't have a journal
right.
of what I'm doing. But we were, and I say we were, like my friends and I on Facebook and Twitter had been watching the Jordan Davis. Remember that
mm-hmm.
case? That was the...
Yes.
We've been watching the verdict with the Michael Dunn trial. And if you
mm-hmm.
remember, in the very first trial, he was found guilty of attempted murder.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a mistrial when it came to the actual murder. And so
mm-hmm.
my Facebook page blew up. People were so upset because they were like, really? The attempted murder, he's guilty? But the other one,
right.
you can't figure it out? And I
mm-hmm.
knew that was going to be the verdict, either that or he was going to be acquitted, because I had actually read the entire transcript of the Trayvon Martin case or
mm-hmm.
the George Zimmerman case.
Right.
And so I knew what the judge said to the jury. And Stand Your Ground is an actual law.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a defense. It's an actual law that is in place by legislators, meaning that it has to be repealed. That's the only way to get it off the books. It's a
right.
law. And no, most people don't know that. And they think it's a defense. It's not. It's a law. And so the judge said in her jury instructions that if at any point you feel that George Zimmerman, his life was in danger, or
mm-hmm.
that he's not guilty. Now, that's almost verbatim, and
mm-hmm.
I use the exact words in Stand Your Ground, the book. The challenge with that is that it's so ambiguous.
Right.
Really? You felt like your life was in danger? If I
and I mean, that could be interpreted
stiletto,
a myriad of different ways, because
well,
I mean, that
I
definitely
wear,
is.
But if I wear 6-inch stilettos, my life is in danger because I can't walk in 6-inch stilettos. And so that's why, I mean, what are you talking about where I feel like my life is in danger? Like
right.
you said, anything can be interpreted in any way, and laws should never be open for translation. Laws
right.
should, a law should never be open. A law should be like the Ten Commandments. It should be very clear. And so the problem with this law is that it's open for interpretation. I don't know any other law that's like that.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if you
there's a law that you can't be married to two people at one time. It's very clear. If you're married, if you have not gotten a divorce, it's a very clear law. You know,
right.
There's a law. You can't just walk up and shoot somebody unless you stand your ground. But those are laws that are clear.
Mm-hmm.
This is a law that's clear. And when I felt as I was watching people on Facebook that they didn't understand the law, how dangerous it was. People were talking about boycotting Florida. And I was like, really? You live in Pennsylvania. Are you going to boycott Pennsylvania that has the same exact law?
Right.
And they were like, my state doesn't have it. I was like, really? You're nuts. You're nuts. So I felt that I could really use that to educate people, and maybe we would do something and want to change this.
Right. Now, you've got two characters in your novel, Janice Johnson and Meredith Spencer, and they both find themselves embroiled in this tragedy. And at the center, you know, is a clash of race, motherhood, vigilante justice. And can you tell us, are there a few similarities or, you know, more differences between the two women in the story? And if they're able to kind of see life through each other's eyes?
Well, they're not friends. One is black, one
mm-hmm.
is white, one is the mother of the victim, of the victim, and one is the wife of the shooter. So it's the tragedy that brought them together. And when I say together, into each other's
lives
on a peripheral, on the edge. And what the things that they have in common, they're both women, they're both mothers, suffering through this tragedy in different ways. They both have one son. One is clearly dead now at the hands
mm-hmm.
of the other's husband. The other one is alive, and she just can't imagine. And her heart bleeds. This mother, her
mm-hmm.
husband, just took her son's life. And so they're very similar. And, of course, the black mother doesn't even know the white mother exists. She
mm-hmm.
knows nothing about that man. She doesn't know until they get to court. And but the entire time, the white woman, the white mother, knows about Janice Johnson, and she knows something about the case that could blow it wide open.
Wow.
And so does she do it as a mother? It could blow the case wide open and blow her life apart.
Wow. Now, before we go too far, I'd like to let listeners know our live chat session is open. You're welcome to comment or ask questions there. You could call us at 646-200-4071 if you'd like to pose a question to Victoria. After the live show, of course, I'll post the podcast and the recap blog for tonight's show on readersentertainment.com. And I know many of our listeners out there would like to check out Victoria's website during the show to learn more about her. And you can find her at www.victoriachristophermurray.com. So, Victoria, in addition to being a novelist, you're also a keynote speaker. You offer coaching sessions, and you've also embarked on a joint venture, Brown Girls Publishing. Can you tell listeners more about these endeavors and kind of what's next for you on that horizon?
Well, I like to do anything that's related to writing, So I love doing coaching sessions. I teach writing workshops, and I love doing coaching sessions where I will edit somebody's chapter and go through it with them, and I can teach everything that I know about
mm-hmm.
writing. So I enjoy doing that on the writing side. And I love speaking. I love speaking about not only my novels, but about writing. I love speaking about stepping out on faith because
mm-hmm.
I sold a pretty lucrative business to finally do this one thing that I've wanted to do my whole life, which
right.
is be a writer. And so I love speaking about that and helping people step out so that they can live their dreams. And then Rashonda Tate Billingsley and I have just started a publishing company called Brown Girls Publishing.
Mm-hmm.
And our purpose was to write stories about or not to write stories, to publish stories from new, young, fresh voices. And so that's the reason why we put the publishing company together.
Right. You know,
we did. We had 21 authors our first year. And
wow.
By the end of this year, we will more than double it. And by the end of our third year, we will have well over 100 books. Now, some of them will be authors who have two, but we'll have mm-hmm. well over 100 books. And we're really interested in providing the best in books, just having the best stories out there. So the books are well edited, well written, mm-hmm. great stories.
Awesome. And can you give listeners the URL, the website for Brown Girls Publishing, so they can check that out as well?
Yes, it's www.browngirlspublishing.com. And now one of the things I want to tell people, because they hear the name Brown Girls Publishing and they're saying, really, you're only going to publish brown girls? But when you get there, you will see that we have brown girls, brown boys, brown men, brown women. We called it Brown Girls Publishing because Rashonda and I are two brown girls. And it's a more interesting name than Pinnacle Publishing, you know, or something like
right.
that.
Right, it's catchy, and you're not going to forget it, that's for sure.
You're not going to forget it. And our favorite line is our brown kids line. And this is a children's book, but it's books written by kids for kids.
Oh, so awesome.
These are not adults writing children books. We
mm-hmm.
have three right now. We have three. We're looking for more kids who just love to write. But we have girls who've already written two books.
Wow. That is
Isn't that great?
Wonderful. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, they're one of our top sellers.
Now, Victoria, I ask this of every guest on the show, and so I would like to see if, you know, what I like about it is that no one really ever answers the same way twice. So what's one thing you've got to have while you're writing and why?
Ooh, what do I have to have while writing? All I need is my iPad. Because it just depends. Like if I'm in Starbucks, right? Because I write in different places.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm in I guess I always have to have a snack or something to break it off. I can't think of anything else. Because if I'm in Starbucks, I have to have a chai tea and then drink lots of water. I guess I have water all the time because you end up sitting down for such a long time,
mm-hmm.
and I have to remember to stand up. I try to stand up every hour. And even for 5 minutes, just walk around.
Right.
So it just depends. Like if I'm home in the summertime, I love frozen grapes while I'm writing.
Mm.
So there's nothing. I don't have to have peace and quiet. In fact, I don't think I've ever written a book with peace and quiet. I don't think peace has ever come, and he's never brought his brother quiet. Because I write everywhere. I write in I'm in a hotel in St. Louis right now. And
mm-hmm.
so I write everywhere,
wow.
all the time. So I'll write on the Amtrak train. I will write on my flight tomorrow to Atlanta. I write everywhere. So I'm not sure. The only thing I have to have is I have to have my iPad and the keyboard, and I'm cool. I'm one
awesome.
Happy camper. So I haven't written on a laptop anymore. I haven't written on a desktop since 2005, and I haven't written on a laptop since 2010.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Now, what's one piece of advice you may have received over the years that has actually stayed with you?
Eric Jerome Dickey told me years ago, keep on writing, keep on writing. And so I took that really seriously because I think Eric is one of our best writers of our generation.
Mm-hmm.
And he just said, you get better as you keep writing, but make sure you keep learning about writing. And he said,
right.
and he encouraged me to take classes, and so I did. But he was saying the best learning comes from reading. And that's the advice I give people. Now, I tell them that writers read and writers write. Those are the two
mm-hmm.
things that writers do. You cannot call yourself a writer if you're not writing, and I can read someone's book and know that they're not a reader.
Yeah, because, you know, it's two totally different things. I mean, when you're reading a book, that's a lot different from when you're writing it, because you're looking at it from two different perspectives. And so that's really interesting and true, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Now, yeah, so he gave me a lot of advice, and that's a good piece. And Elon Harris told me, stay published. That's all he said, is stay published. And he said, do that no matter what they're offering you in terms of a contract, just stay published. Things will get better.
Right. That's great advice. Now, for anybody who just is catching the tail end of the show, I am speaking with national best-selling and award-winning author Victoria Christopher Murray. We were chatting about her latest novel, Stand Your Ground, that's available now. Definitely get out there and check it out. And so, Victoria, do you have a favorite character in one of your novels?
I don't. I know a lot of people might think that I just love that Jasmine Cox Lawson Bush crazy woman because there's five books about her. But the reason that there are five books about her is because the readers kind of blackmailed me into it. The readers just loved her. I wrote her as a secondary character in my first novel, Temptation, and the book was about a married couple, and she just took over. People were emailing me talking about what's going on with Jasmine. I'm like, I don't know. She's not real, so I don't know. And people today, I mean, will ask me, so, you know, Victoria, your other books are the bomb. I love reading your books. But when are we going to get something else about Jasmine? And I'm like, she's crazy. And they're like, yeah, we love crazy.
We like crazy.
I'm like, really, people? Come on, we can do better. So, but no, people would think it was Jasmine. I just like, you know, when I'm working on a book, I spend so much time with the characters that the book that whatever you're currently working on is the book that's closest to your heart.
Right, that's true.
So I don't have a favorite character, and I tend to love my flawed characters the best.
Right, because, you know, I like the messy characters, you know, the ones that, you know, nothing's ever cut and dry, it's never what it seems. And, you know, they are realistic, you know, characters that people can identify with. You know, everything's not just perfect and, you know, going well in their life. They got mess just like everybody else.
Exactly. Nobody is all good or all bad.
Right. Now, can you let listeners know what's next for you?
One of the things I always say is I hate sequels. I really do, because they don't give you a chance to meet new people and to find out new things. And I write to meet new people and find out new things about myself. So my next book is a sequel. To my second novel, Joy. And let me tell you, though, the reason how I got to this. When I was writing Stand Your Ground, I wrote a crazy, crazy book. Not really a crazy book, but a crazy law. It's just ridiculous that we have a law on our books that tell adults that they can behave opposite of how we tell children to behave. We tell children to not escalate a situation, just walk away. But Stand Your Ground says stand your ground, that you have no duty to retreat. So as I was looking at that and studying that law, I found out that America has quite a few crazy laws on the book. And the next book I'm working on, I don't have a title yet, but it's about a woman in Joy. She was raped. And she conceived the child through the rape. The man who raped her went to jail. But she conceived the child, and she decided to have it because she couldn't bring herself to have an abortion. She had had one abortion already. And she married somebody, and her husband decided to raise this child as their own. He loved her. And as the child, so that was 15 years ago. And the child is now 15 years old. Her name is Joy. And as she was growing up, she always wondered why she didn't look like anybody in her family. And she just didn't get that, but, and it bothered her, and her mother was saying, well, you know, Black people come in all shades and everything. And now the new book will open up with her biological father has served his time, and there are 20 states in the United States of America that allows a person who conceived a child through the crime of rape to now have paternal rights.
Oh, no way.
Yep.
Oh,
that's,
wow.
Is that a crazy law? Now,
that
it
is
was
a crazy law.
I was like, well, that I was exactly where you were on it, saying, this is crazy. I can't wait to write this book. Except I've talked to advocates now, because I'm doing the research. I've talked to advocates for these men. And there's been some interesting things they said to me, like people have served their time. So we're a country that says, that's right, that's what we say. Then also, it's really his mother who's pushing for it because she wants to know her grandchild. The mother didn't rape her. She wants to know her grandchild. So it's kind of changed my perspective because I was like, that's a crazy law.
Yeah, wow.
And so I like writing about these things that make people say, what would they do? So isn't that interesting?
Right.
Because
yeah,
even in just that 2 minutes, I changed your mind a little bit.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, because when you hear something like that, you instantly, you know, see it from one perspective, and you got to remember there's always two perspectives, and there's always, you know, it's not just one family affected, it's two families, you know, and so,
yeah
definitely. So,
yeah,
gosh,
so just so quickly, so I hope in a book to change your mind too.
Yeah, I can't wait to read that one. So let's tell listeners where they can interact with you online, because we're about out of time.
Okay, well, they can. I'm on Facebook all the time. I'm a CNN of Facebook, and I'm on Facebook under Victoria Christopher Murray. I'm on Twitter under Victoria, E as in Edward, C as in Cat, M as in Mary, Victoria ECM. I'm on Instagram as Victoria Christopher Murray. And then I'm like this new, I don't know, have you heard of Periscope?
No,
The new
I
social
haven't.
Oh, my God, I love Periscope.
I can't keep up.
it's videos where people can come and see you live.
Oh,
and so
okay.
If I were not talking, yeah, and so little tiny short videos. So like today, I'm a member of Delta Sigma Theta, so there were some Delta Sigma Theta librarians here, and I put them all on video, and it's this one 2-minute video. Love it. I love Periscope. And so I'm on Periscope under V. Christopher Murray.
Okay. Well, wow. Victoria, thank you so much for joining us tonight. It has been such a pleasure having you. We'll definitely have to get you back on when the next book comes out so we could chat about that.
Well, thank you for having me, and I hope everybody will enjoy Stand Your Ground, and if they do, I hope they'll tell a person, tell somebody
else.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I would like to thank our listeners for joining us here at Readers Entertainment Radio. Don't forget, you can find us at readersentertainment.com. Stop by. You can leave a comment about tonight's show. We'd love to hear from you. Definitely check out the recap blog for Victoria's show, and I will also be posting the podcast link for social media later, so check that out. And I am your host, Lisa Watson, saying be blessed, be inspired, and happy reading. Good night, Victoria.
Good night.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.